Amen. Come on, can we give God an amazing, huge shout of praise this morning? He is so good. He is so faithful to us. You guys can go ahead and grab a seat. Well, good morning. How are we doing, church? Come on, how are we doing out there? You guys look good. You look really good. You look better than Greg and I, that's for sure. That's for sure. But that's not hard to do, to be honest. That's not really that hard to do, to look better than us. Well, hey guys, we have a kind of a different morning planned out for you today. We're really excited about it. Greg's going to be taking the lead here in a second, but I did want to take just a moment to introduce Greg. I know a lot of you guys know him, but many of you may not know this, that Greg actually is on our board of directors, and so he's intimately involved in helping to lead True North Church. He's also the guy who oversees all of our group life ministries here, our small groups and helping to connect people into those groups. And so Greg has put together some content today that I'm going to be kind of tag teaming along with him that we're excited to share with you guys and really hope to encourage you with. If you're new today, maybe kind of joining with us for the first time, this is for you as well. This is not just for, I believe, the people who call True North home. This is for everybody who is out there in the community who we want to connect into the body of Christ. That's really what today is about. And so without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Greg, and we're going to kind of dive in this morning. It's going to look a little bit different, but we're excited. Yeah,
it's going to look a little different. So like, first of all, anybody who's new, we're going to bring you up here and tell you all about it. So Chris, get ready. I'm kidding. Welcome to all the new folks. Great to see the new faces here. So yeah, totally excited and thrilled to be talking about group life today. How it's going to go is, like Justin said, we're going to be sharing a few things with you guys. We're going to have actually a few interviews and some folks from the body here that'll be sharing kind of their experiences with small groups, just to hear from them instead of us. And then if you didn't notice on the on your way out, we've got a bunch of tables set up for all of our small groups. And so we've really been trying hard to grow our groups and to make sure that we're creating those atmospheres for all of us in our different life stages. So for example, we're starting like an empty nesters group that my wife and I are going to help start off. And so kids, you're on warning, get out of my house, because I don't want to be a liar. So man, pack your bags. And so we want to make sure that we have a place for everyone, right? And actually, we even have a sign up for what if we, you know, have some other interests that, you know, we haven't thought of, you know, like a Pittsburgh Penguins fanboy club, something like that, you know, that I would be happy to co-lead with you. No, but I'm really excited about that. And so we'll get into the message here. I when I was thinking about, like, what do we want to talk about? What do we want to start with? My mind quickly went to, you know, when I was growing up, and maybe some of you guys can relate to this, that maybe you had some friends or some neighbor kids or whatever that you're hanging out with, and maybe you did some things that you probably shouldn't have done for the first time, right? They got you in trouble. You know, I hear so many stories like, oh yeah, the first time I did whatever was because my neighbor kids showed me, you know, like cigarettes or whatever. That was my dad's story, I remember that. Certainly the case for me, even going into like college, I had one friend that, I don't know, he just had this appetite for destruction, I feel like, and I tried to, you know, help him out, but man, he got me in more trouble. But then thankfully, God brought another good friend in my life. We're still friends to this day, and he kind of kept me out of trouble and kept me on the straight and narrow. So I don't know if that resonates with you, but I'll bet our pastor has a story about some of those influences.
Yeah, of course I do. I was young and very dumb. Now I'm older and dumb. I was young and very dumb at one point. But one time, I'll never forget this, because when we were talking about the content for this, you were sharing that peace with me, and I thought to myself, I have a great story for that. So one time, I had some buddies, and we used to hang out at this local playground, and it was the Kiwanis Club. I don't know if that's still a thing anymore, but we would hang out at this playground. They had this big building there, and we were walking to the park one day, and we stumbled upon a whole bunch of cans of spray paint. And so one of the guys was like, we should use this. Like, it's there. Obviously, someone wants us to use it, so we grabbed these cans of spray paint, and one of the guys took some spray paint and started to spray all over the side of the Kiwanis building, right? And the best part of this story is, so I was like, okay, maybe that's not a great idea, but everybody else is doing it, so I'm gonna jump in, right? And so I'm spraying or whatever. Here's the real kicker of this story. About 2 days later, we got pulled together by our parents in the neighborhood and they said, do you want to tell us something? And we all kind of looked at them like, no, what do you mean? And they're like, did you guys spray paint all over the side of a building at the Kiwanis playground? And we're like, no. And they're like, are you sure? Are you sure you don't want to change your story? Right? Here's what we did. We didn't just graffiti a cool picture. We didn't just like draw some lines. No, we wrote our names on the side of the building. All right? So now you know, your pastor is not a smart man. I am not an intelligent individual, right? That's the kind of stuff that you get into, right, when you are around other people who are not necessarily influencing you in the right way. And the bottom line of all that, and kind of why we're starting with that, is this, is that who you hang out with matters. It matters big time. It does. It matters so much, right? Paul, he warns us of this in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. He could not be more pointed in that statement, right? Bad company corrupts good behavior. Ever noticed how when you are hanging out with somebody, the more you hang out with them, the more you start to kind of act like them, right? You start to talk like them. You kind of pick up their lingo. You pick up their style. You might even start to dress like them. You get interested in some of the same things, right, that they get interested in, right? And so the bottom line of today is, and the kind of the heart of this is just that we need, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we need to regularly, consistently be around the body of Christ. We need consistent time with each other. I think about it like this. Have you ever taken an onion and put it in the refrigerator in one of those, you know, like little drawers in your refrigerator and threw a piece, you know, maybe accidentally your kid threw it in there, just got accidentally in there with an apple, right? What happens, right? The onion ends up, even though it might not even be touching it, you go to bite into that apple and it tastes like onion, right? There's this like osmosis that happens when you are around other people, whether you like it or not. And it can go one of two ways. It can either be a good thing or it can be a negative thing. And so again, I think as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been called to be engaging in community life, in relationship with each other, and it goes beyond, and this is something we say around here often. Those of you that are part of True North and have been around for a while, you probably think that I sound like a broken record, but church, being a part of the church, is about so much more than what's happening right here on Sunday morning for 1 hour. This is a piece of it. This is a vitally important piece of it, but it's so much bigger than that. And we will not grow as much as we can grow unless we are engaging with the body of Christ more than just that 1 hour a week.
Yeah, and so like we said, we're talking about group life. And if you're like me, maybe your head has already gone to this. You know, it's just another thing to do. I know you guys are going to ask us and try to encourage us and excite us about being a part of group life, but I'm busy, right? You know, and every night I've got something or whatever, you know, and I'll admit to you, like for me, my biggest struggle is I'm just selfish with my time. You know, like I'm working nowadays, especially 10 hours a day. And, you know, when you're done with that, you just want to stay home, right? At least I do. And you know, what I want to do is kind of segue into that because, you know, I think what you need to hear today is we can't be connected if we're isolated, right? And I think one of the most effective tools that the enemy has with us may be something that we cherish, time alone, peace and quiet. And that is a good thing, right? Rest is a good thing.
We just heard
that not too long ago, right? But we also heard not too long ago about how we need a team, right, in your last message. And so how do we strike that balance? And so I want to go back to the Word of God here in 1 Corinthians 12:24 through 26. It's up on the screen here. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should be equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices. You know, and I can testify myself, like being a part of the men's group, and Justin is too. A lot of the guys that are in our group are here today. You know, we've been able to see that growth and that connection. You know, not really happy about the iPhone thing, you know, like, you know, convincing others to buy iPhones. But other than that, I see you, Tommy. No. But we've been Yeah, but we've been growing together, amen? I mean, some really powerful conversations, and this has definitely been true in our group. When someone is suffering, when they're struggling, that's when we can be a part of that, and and try to make a big difference in each other's lives. And Justin, I'm going to turn over to you in a minute. You had some really interesting thoughts about creating margin in our lives and, creating intentionally, creating time that really matters. And so I wanted to turn it back to you about that.
So something I've just been convicted about in my own life recently is the amount of, margin that I have in my life to be able to engage in relationship and community with other people, right? And I think a lot of times, this is really sad, but I think it's true. We barely have enough margin to engage with our own family, like our immediate family, because we are living in a culture, we're living in an age where we have so filled up our time with things, with stuff, with events, with whatever, with our phones, right? Binge watching Netflix, whatever it might be. And we've left such a small amount of space to engage in the life-giving things that God has for us in our life. And one of the things that will really give us life, that will fill us up, is being in relationship, not just with the people that are in our immediate family, but with the body of Christ, right? It takes a village. We need a lot of different people in our life, and they need us. And that's something we talked about a few weeks ago, right? And so we can't do that if we don't have margin. And so I've been convicted by that. I've actually been evaluating my life over the last couple of weeks and trying to figure out exactly where do I need to create that space so that I can do those things and not feel like, okay, this is one more thing I've got to add to my plate. And I think what's, again, also sad is that a lot of times, come on, let's just be honest. Let's be real with each other today. A lot of times the first thing to go when we don't have margin is the things of God, right? For me personally, what happens? I get up in the morning. I know I got a really busy day. I know I got a lot on my plate with family, with work, with whatever. First thing to go, I'll get to my Bible study later. I'll read God's word later, right? It continues to trickle on from there. Well, I'm really busy this week. I got so many things going on. So Wednesday night small group, I'm gonna have to cut that out this week because I got something else going on. Sunday morning, oh man, I would love to, but I've got this huge event that I'm going to this weekend, and so that's not gonna be able to make the cut this week either. And I think what I wanna throw out there as a challenge to us, True North Church, to the body, is this. What if being engaged in community life, being engaged in the body of Christ, was the top priority, was the most important thing? And that doesn't mean that we make our family second, because our family hopefully is a part of that as well, our immediate family, whatever that looks like. But what if we stopped playing this game where we are just so overbooked with so many different things and we said no to some other things so that we could engage in the life-giving thing that is the body of Christ, that Jesus created this place for? Like, this is a gift. And I think sometimes we don't see it that way. We just see it as another thing to check the box, to go to, that's going to fill up my week. I see it as this life-giving gift. And so I want to encourage you to be prayerfully thinking about your own life. Do you have the margin to be able to engage in the body of Christ? And if you don't, how are you going to create that space? I love in 1 Corinthians 12, 24 to 26 here, what Paul says and the language that he uses. He says, God has put the body together. He's put us together. If you are in this room today, I don't think it's by accident. It's not a coincidence. God has brought you here. He has put the body together. It says, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body. Right, we are to be united. We are supposed to be in this together, walking through this life together, encouraging one another, challenging one another. And it's really hard to do that when you see somebody in passing on a Sunday morning for 5 minutes before or after the worship service. Not that that's a bad thing. This whole thing that's happening right now is an amazing and a beautiful thing. But it can't be the only thing, right?
I definitely want to call out, where the enemy plays a role in all this. There's this t-shirt I love, and I just need to buy it, and it says, "Sorry I'm late, I didn't want to come." because sometimes that's me, y'all, right? Come on, I'm not the only one. It's like, oh, it's small group time. Yay. Yeah. But then I quickly remember, every single time I go, I feel refreshed and fulfilled and happy I've been there. And I hope you all could say, like, yeah, the same, right? But Satan doesn't want that. He wants to keep us isolated. He doesn't want us to connect. And I think just a brilliant thing to remember, and Justin, you talked about it a couple weeks ago on the teamwork, having a team, and it just kind of, the light bulb came on for me, and I want to talk more about it here. I know, at least for me, and maybe this resonates with you guys, but when you make that, when you have that thought in your head, like, oh yeah, small group, I don't really want to go, and you're kind of wrestling with that, I know for me, the lies that Satan sells that I buy often is, I won't be missed. You know, it's not that big of a deal. They'll be fine without me. And the epiphany that I had that I want to share is, you know, like when you come to church this morning, right? When you come to small group, when you're meeting with other believers, those are conversations that God is putting together, right? He's orchestrating those conversations, the words that you're saying, that last minute encouragement. I know what's happened to me. You know, I've received that and I've also given that. And I didn't know that that was going to happen. If I didn't come, that wouldn't have happened, right? And I think we need to think about that from like a responsibility standpoint. Like, I need to go. Not like, you know, the party doesn't start unless I show up, but I don't know what God's going to use me for. I don't know what God's going to speak to me to share with someone, right? You just don't know until you get there. Even like that mingling after church. You know, I know years ago in a ministry that Justin and I were both involved in, you know, I really focused a lot on, it was on a student ministry leadership program, and I said, we need to have meaningful mingling. You know, not like you're writing up notes and you're putting them in your pocket and reading them, but, you know, mingling and connecting with people with purpose, right? Like, I really want to get to know you. I'm sure we've all been a recipient of someone shaking your hand like, hi, so-and-so, what's your name? And then you forget it that second, and you're just kind of going through the motions, and you don't feel like you're just doing this because you got a badge around your neck, right? And that's exactly what we don't want. And so back to the word again, Hebrews, I love this scripture. This is kind of like, in my mind, like the key scripture for today. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. It was common back then. It's common today. Mm. But encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, right? Is life getting easier? Anybody? Raise your hand, right? We need each other. I need you. You know, even if it's a, hey, let's grab a bite, let's grab a coffee, or just that simple question of how are you doing? You know, at least for me, man, that means a lot. Sometimes I'll ask somebody that and they start crying, you know, like, whoa, I was just, praise the Lord, let's talk about it. How are you doing? You know, and then that great conversation happens. If I stayed home to watch TV or whatever, that didn't happen, right? And so I love this scripture. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Don't give up. Don't give up on meeting together, right? Don't give up. And so, I mean, that's what just spoke volumes to me. And so, you know, I think so many times I've learned from others, right, that I wouldn't have expected. You know, we have one of the guys in our men's group, and this is for all you folks that are listening online, don't feel like you're not a part of this message, by the way. We have Zoom meeting rooms for everybody because, you know, we all were Zooming not too long ago. We've got them all set up for our small groups. We can make you connected. So don't feel like you can't be connected, whether you live in the area and you're virtually or you live in another state. Please connect. We want to get you connected. We can do that. And then the men's group, we've been doing it every single week successfully. And there's a gentleman, Andrew's his name, that he had to move away, but he's always connected. And you know, very often, you know, he's part of the conversation. He's saying some great things and participating. And so we want to make that offer. I wanted to make sure that you guys felt included about that too. And so before we start with our interviews, I know you had one more thought, one more scripture we want to share with you, and then we're going to have a couple interviews.
Yeah. So I think just all that is so good, and that perspective, and this is where I think God's been working on me and trying to change my perspective, because, again, let's just be real, let's be honest with ourselves. In general, okay, I won't speak for anybody else. I am a selfish person. I am a self-centered person. Most of the time, I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking about what I need. I'm not thinking about what other people need. And I think one of the traps of group life is, okay, if I don't go, nobody will miss me. If I don't go, right, it won't be that big of a deal. I won't miss that much, right? But that perspective, that mindset of, okay, but if I don't go, what if God would have used me to just impact somebody that night in an unbelievable way, to just share an encouraging word with them because they had a horrible week and they just needed to hear it. You know, to maybe bring a new perspective to God's word that they never thought about before, and it's like a light bulb goes on. And if you're not there, if I'm not there, that doesn't happen. And so I'll throw out this challenge. As you think about group life, as you think about from week to week, if you're already in a group, you know, oh, I don't know, maybe this isn't, you know, a good week for me to go or whatever. Think about how your absence is going to affect the rest of the people in that group. And that makes it, for me, that makes it a lot more, like, I feel a lot more accountable. I feel like, no, I got to be there because God might want to use me to do something. And that is my purpose in this life, is to impact the world for the kingdom. If I'm not around people, how am I supposed to do that, right? And that's not saying, okay, so it's very easy to get legalistic in the Christian life, right? It's very easy to get into this mode of like, okay, I went to small group and I went to church and I read my Bible and I prayed 10 minutes today and I checked the box, and now I'm a good Christian, right? It's so easy to get into that. And so it's not saying like, okay, you know, you're sick one night and you miss group. Okay, that's an obviously a good reason, right? Or your family's taking a vacation that week. But a lot of times we just make excuses why we shouldn't be, why we're not going to go. And that's really the challenge today, is just to begin to think through, you know, from that perspective. And so there's a verse I want to read to you. It's Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. I love this. I love the practicality of God's word. It says, two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. So much more can get done with two people than one. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And that's really a desire here at True North. One of our core values is to seek community. Our desire is that nobody is walking through this faith journey, through this life alone, because there's going to be moments where you need someone to pick you up. And that's what we want for every person. That's why we want every person to be a part of group life, even though I know that it can be intimidating and that can be scary and you can feel like you don't have the margin, but it is so unbelievably important.
Amen. Yeah, so, amen. Yeah, and the last thing we want is, and again, I know I've experienced it, and thankfully not here, but we don't want any of you to feel like when you come in that you're just overlooked, right? You come in, you leave, and no one even noticed them, right? And I think it's easy to think that, well, that's just, you know, it's your job to do it, and it's work to make sure that you're connecting with people. But no way. If we're connected in our small groups, it just naturally happens, right? You see the people in your group, like, hey, what's going on? You see others that are visiting, and you want to connect with them because you want them to have what you have. And so if we're doing it right, if we're staying connected, we're not isolating, we're not just in and out and checking the box, like Justin said, then naturally we become more of a family, right? Mm. It's like, we got a good thing coming here. I want you to be a part of it and experience it, right?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Well, I want to invite Katie up. We're going to have a
couple. Come on, let's give Katie a big round of applause. Come on.
Katie's on our worship team. Beautiful voice. Go ahead and have a seat. We're going to get you a microphone. And so we're going to spend some time to talk to Katie, and then after that, Matt. And just going to ask her a few questions. I prepped her ahead of time. I said I want to know how to change out a transmission in a 76 Chevy. Oh, my bad.
That's good.
No,
that's
but good. Just want to start off with, you know, Justin and I can talk about it all we want, right? And I know we're a part of group life, but we wanted to invite a couple to say, just to tell all of you, like, what has been your group life experience? Like, you know, what encouragement have you seen? What, you know, being a part of that, how has it, you know, influenced you and made an impact?
Hmm. Oh, that's big. So my husband and I, we've been coming here for about a year now, and I know this pandemic has been a crazy thing, but it was actually a great thing for us because it was a catalyst for us to find a church where we could really get plugged in, especially with people, you know, who are our age and in similar stages of life. So, you know, we came here and very quickly got into small group, and the people that are in our small group have become some of the best friends that we have, and they support us in ways we can't even imagine. I mean, we moved in April and we were going to hire movers and they would hear nothing of it. Every single one of them said, no, we'll be there. Just the support and the prayer support, because, you know, each one of us has some challenge that we're facing in our life, whether it's work being stressful, family issues, and, you know, while we get together in our small groups and do, you know, some sort of lesson or, you know, video thing that we watch, we still spend so much time just talking to each other and trying to understand what's going on in each other's lives so that we can support each other and pray for each other. And I know for me, there are definitely times where I don't necessarily feel like I want to go out on a, you know, a Wednesday night when I've had a busy week, but I can say that I don't think I've ever gone to small group and not left feeling fulfilled and just like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders, just being around these people.
That's awesome. Mm. So you touched on it a little bit there on the busyness, but like what we were sharing there, like that decision, group is tonight, tough week, you know, I don't want to go. What has helped you make that decision yourself or, you know, as a couple, like how have you, you know, seen victory in that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest struggle we had before was getting connected and feeling like there was fellowship. And it's so rewarding because I know just having that fellowship has helped me to grow even closer in my relationship with God. And it helps Adam and me to spend time together doing that. And we spur each other on. And then we're all uplifted by the other couples in our groups. And it's just, it's amazing.
No, I get it. So, if there's anybody out there that's thinking like, you know, it's optional. It's not that big of a deal. What might you say to them?
You're missing out. It's just a great experience, and it's great to get to know people that you might not have otherwise spent a lot of time with. And, you know, there are things that I think we all struggle with in our lives that we maybe assume that other people don't struggle with as well. Mm. And having those open times where we're just raw and real with each other and talk about these things just really, you start to see that you're not the only person who struggles with these things and that it truly is a community. And to your point, without the right people around you, the decisions that you might make in those tough scenarios are going to be really different.
Mm. That's good. One last question for me, and then Justin, we'll see if you have any. Most memorable group, go.
Oh. That's hard. June is just shaking her head. I don't know. That's hard.
Okay, so they're all amazing.
They're
is what
all
you're
amazing.
Saying.
Yeah,
not
I mean,
that they're
what,
not memorable.
There was one time where I stood up and there was a spider underneath where I was sitting. And June rescued me.
Oh, yeah.
That's
wow.
Most memorable. For
that
me.
Is believable. Yeah,
like,
I've seen her climb ropes
spider,
up in
like
trees.
Big
so,
spider.
Right on. So she got your back. Nice. Justin, any questions for you?
Yeah, just one. If you could tell people just one thing about group life that would be helpful for them in encouraging them to be a part of it, like what would that one thing be?
I would say it's knowing that it's not just a once every 2 weeks thing. It's these people in your group are there for you constantly.
Mm.
So it's not just you're going to go and be uplifted for that one day and then you're not going to talk to them again except for Sunday morning and 2 weeks later.
Mm.
We all are in a, you know, group message. We bring things to each other for prayer and just encourage each other throughout the week. And it's more than just a once every couple of weeks thing.
That's really good. That's awesome. And really important, I think, for people to hear too. Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Katie.
All right, yeah, thanks. Give it up.
Can we give her a hand?
All right, Matt,
I'll
come on
it.
Up, man. Mr. Matthew Kruth. So you've known Matt as he's making his way up here, right?
I've known Matt for all of a year.
Right? Because he lives like way
Matt
down
lives
the street
five houses down from me, so Matt gets to see all the nitty-gritty, dirty details of Justin and his yard and his kids and the day-to-day life.
So how many times have you returned Logan to his house? Praise the Lord.
The question is how many times he's returned my other son.
Oh, okay, well, gotcha. All right, well, hey, you've heard the questions here, but just want to open it up to start with. You know, what's group life been for you? I know you've shared with in our men's group some really interesting insights and that desire for connection, but what has group life done for you and also for your family?
Yeah, I think number one, spiritually, just, you know, it's easy. I went to a Christian college, and it's easy to study the Bible to pass a test. It's a lot different to actually have communication with people and to give a good dose of truth and grace to people that are showing up with everyday problems, and just being able to talk and discuss and realize that, you know, people go through the same stuff that you do every day. One of my favorite things about it, I think, is just our communication via text. That keeps me going pretty much all through the week. We have a good meme game.
Yeah, we do.
So that's
meme game in our group.
That's a plus. But just feeling the connection with people. And I think even more than that is just then the one-on-one. You know, you get people that will text you, just say, like, you know, God put on my heart to pray for you today. Yeah. And it's just, you feel part of the group, right, you know. Right. Even if you don't show up. There's a couple times Justin said today about, you know, being there. And I've never felt like I didn't want to be there, but I felt like life gets in the way and it's hard. And just making that time and coordinating schedules. You know, we have a son that's playing football now, so we have practice from 6 to 8, and it's hard. And my wife and I just try to come up with a way to, you know, be there and flip around and be able to get to the group. But, so that's, I mean, spiritually and then family-wise, just, you know, you deal with kids and wives, and wives deal with husbands and kids all the time, and it's hard. So just being able to kind of, even if you don't react the way you want to react, stepping back, thinking, praying, and knowing the word and what we've talked about during the week has really been beneficial.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, and you probably don't, because Matt is a great contributor in our men's group. I mean, he's got a lot to say. He should go into politics. Anyways, he's in politics. So... what would you say, since you really do like to contribute a lot, and I, you know, in all of our small groups, some of us aren't there, right? We'd rather like listen and absorb, and that's great, right? Some of us like to share, you know. Some of us, I think there's a balance. And so, what would you say, like, what has your experience been in kind of gaining, you know, insight from people who've been somewhere where you haven't been, but also being able to share that and give?
Yeah, I've actually found myself, which is unusual because I'm usually a talker, but find myself being a listener a lot too, which I think is good because, you know, you go back and, much like I said about the text, you go back and you can really absorb what people say, and then kind of feel like you can loop back around with them and talk to them. But then also contributing, you know, like I felt in a position where, you know, I was like, I don't feel like I have something to say because I don't know enough about what we're talking about or whatever. But then just the conversations that come out of that really give you that ability to connect. And even if you didn't feel like you knew exactly what to say or how to say it, it's just the talking back and forth with people, I think that's, you know.
Yeah, so my question to you would be the same as Katie. If you could share just one thing, kind of one golden nugget, if you will, of like, this is why I would encourage you to be a part of group life, what would you share with everybody?
Yeah, I think just your own personal walk with Jesus and being connected. I mean, those are really the two most valuable things for me. Just you know, knowing that in my own life and really gaining something from it outside of church, and just, you know, the hour and a half that we're here, you feel like you're part of the group, and that's, I think, what everyone wants to feel like, part of the group and being part of the right group and knowing what kind of choices to make, what kind of decisions to make, and being able to talk about that. And I'll add too, just because I, you know, I'm in the men's group, but I also now dabble with the young families group, which I think is great because, you know, and you don't even feel like there's missing out on the men's group, you know, every so often because they both meet on Thursdays. And just being able to like get in touch with almost two groups really, and just get that, you know, men's group side and then also the family side. So I think it's great that we offer them. It's great that apparently they're on different days too. I heard Wednesday. So I mean, I would love to be involved in more. So yes. Not the Penguins one. I'm not a Penguins fan.
I mean, I'll forgive them, right? All right, thanks, Matt. Give it up,
Matt.
For Matt. Right on. So hopefully that was a blessing just to hear from some of the folks in the group here. And so I think one thing that's really kind of a theme that I'm picking up is in reflecting even some of the things you've shared, Justin, is we can't look at connectedness as an option, right? We just can't. And if we're isolated, we just can't connect. If we're too busy, we can't connect. If we don't create that margin like you talked about, we're not going to connect. If we're selfish, I'm right there with you. We can't connect, right? And so it makes sense that maybe Satan's all over that, right? Mm. And I know I've said it a long time ago, but good things, otherwise good things can be bad things if they're not the best things. And the best things, and so well said, we usually start taking off the list the things of God, mm-hmm. right? Time with him, meditating on the word, connecting with each other, right? And so I want to leave with you guys kind of a three-part challenge, right? And then we'll wrap it up here and get you guys in the back there, too, to meet some of our group leaders. And so, first of all, again, I really just want to kick Satan in the face. I say that to a lot of people all the time. And so where is he in this with you, right? Think about yourself, like what is causing you to pause or to delay or not like be interested in being a part of group life? And quite simply, James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So think about that. I want to challenge you to think about why is my initial reaction like, I don't want to. Or maybe it was a bad experience or whatever it is. Know that that's not God's very best for you. He wants us to be connected. We saw that demonstrated in the Word of God itself. Amen? And so start there and find out where he's keeping you from seeing that necessity.
The way I'd put it is like anywhere where you're feeling like fear, anxiety about being connected, that's not of God. That's not from God. Amen. That's the enemy doing everything he can to disconnect you and keep you isolated, because he knows if he can keep you isolated, then he can plant more thoughts in your head and you're not going to be able to have accountability and encouragement from other people who are going to be able to say, that's not the truth.
Right.
That's not the truth at all. Let's surround this person and encourage them. Right. And Satan doesn't want that.
No way. No way. And number two, and this is a big one, we've been talking about kind of you focus, but we've kind of touched on it a few times. Being a part of group life, it's not just about you. It's not just about you showing up and receiving, right? It's about you showing up and being available for God to use you, right? To share your insights, to share like, oh, I've been there. And let me tell you, don't paint your name when you paint on a fence. Stuff like that. So Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Katie talked about that, right? Life is easy. Anybody? No, right? I mean, life can get tough, right? Your life can get weary, can get, you know, and when we go through those tough times, I know for me, I have benefited from our men's group because they helped me in those tough times. Man, oh man, when you don't have to carry it yourself, it matters. Mm. Amen?
Yeah, amen. Yep.
And then the last one here, Philippians, I love this one. Philippians 2:4 says, consider others better than yourselves. Again, you know, put your focus on asking God before you show up to small group, before you come here to church, like, God, you know, help me to be a part of what you want to accomplish today, right? I don't think we think of that. We, you know, Sunday mornings we show up and we're going to receive, right? But if we all start taking ownership and meeting together here as a body of Christ and also in our small groups, like, I have a responsibility. It's not my leader's responsibility. I'm just going to sit there and consume. Mm. But God, show me and prepare my heart for how I can give, how I can contribute to what's in front of me. Amen?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great segue into, I think, what is the most important thing of all. And that is, like, everything always comes back to the gospel, right? It comes back to Jesus and his example that he set for us and who he's calling us to be. For those of us who are in Christ, right? He is our Savior. He is our Lord, and we want to be obedient to him. We want to go where he calls us to go, and we recognize that when we do that, the deeper we follow him, the more obedient we are to him, the more joy and peace and contentment he's actually going to bring into our life. And so he's the ultimate example of what we just talked about today. Relationships were the most important thing to him while he was walking on this earth. The amount of time that he spent with the 12 disciples, pouring into them, laughing and eating and teaching them, right? And not eating them. That could have come across that way. Yeah. Laughing, teaching. Okay, I digress. Pouring into their life, right? At the end of the day, that is what Jesus came to do, and then he came to die on the cross to pay for our sins, so that we could be in relationship with him without any stuff or junk in the way. And be able to be free to just do what he's called us to do, to live in the purpose that he's called us to. And so we want that. We want that so badly for people here and for all people. And that's why we exist as a church. And so the final challenge is this, all right? We've got some tables that we've set up back in our lobby area. And what we're encouraging you to do today is, I know it can be scary, especially if you're new. I see so many new faces today, and I gotta tell you, that makes me so excited. I've already gotten to meet several of you. Some of you I haven't. I would love to meet you after the service. Please stick around. And so I wanna encourage you, if you're new, stick around, try to meet some people, try to check out some of the groups, see what there is to offer. I'll say this, I see a lot of young people. I've met some people today who are college age or just out of college, starting new jobs, you're new to the area. What an awesome way today to be able to connect with some people, and maybe we even get a whole new group started today that we didn't even know was gonna get started today. Like, I think that is something that God could absolutely make happen today if we're intentional about connecting here this morning. And then I want to throw this out to our people who are part of True North. If you see somebody new, go talk to them, get their name, find out their story, find out why they're here. See if you can connect them to somebody else, even if it's not somebody that's in your, you know, particular life stage right now. Let's do everything we can to not leave here today without connecting and trying to find that. I mean, just to listen to Katie and Matt talk about their experience and how it's shaping them and how it's encouraging them. Man, we want that for you. And so don't leave here today without doing that. I do believe we have some pretty delicious treats back there as well. So if nothing else, we'll bribe you with food to stick around, have a little bit of food. We would love to connect with you in that way and get you involved in group life. I'm gonna pray for us.